This is Suzanne Ito for ACLU.org. According to a new report released today by the ACLU and Human Rights Watch, students with disabilities face corporal punishment in public schools at disproportionately high rates. This kind of punishment can worsen these students' medical conditions and undermines their education. In this podcast, the author of the report, Alice Farmer, talks about why students with disabilities are entitled to appropriate, inclusive educational programs that give them the opportunities to thrive. Alice is joined by Catherine Kim, an attorney with the ACLU's Racial Justice Program, who will talk about alternatives to corporal punishment for students with disabilities. Alice, what is corporal punishment?
Well, corporal punishment in the U.S. takes a few different forms. Most typically, it takes the form of paddling. And that's a practice that's legal in 20 states and consists of an educator hitting a child repeatedly on the behind with a long wooden board. In this report, we've noted that students with disabilities are routinely subject to paddling, as well as other violent punishments, including hitting children with other objects like rulers, slapping children, pinching them, striking them, grabbing children with enough force to bruise them, and throwing children into walls or floors.
How many students are disciplined this way?
Well, every year in the U.S., at least 220,000 children in public schools are subjected to paddling. And that includes about 42,000 students with mental or physical disabilities. Nationwide, students with disabilities receive corporal punishment at disproportionately high rates. For instance, students with disabilities make up 18.8% of those who receive corporal punishment, but they're just 13% of the nationwide student population. And so this disparity suggests that the most vulnerable students are receiving beatings at disproportionately high rates.
Why do students get punished this way?
Well, students can get corporal punishment for a range of misbehavior, from minor transgressions like walking on the wrong side of a hallway, all the way to bigger misbehaviors like violence or fighting. But students with disabilities can be physically punished for conduct that's related to their conditions. Students with autism, for example, we've had interviews where they've been punished for behaviors common to autism, including spinning around in a circle or rocking from side to side. When students with disabilities are beaten for these conditions, their rights to education and to non-discrimination are violated.
What's the impact of corporal punishment?
Well, corporal punishment is ineffective in producing safe classrooms, and it causes pain, humiliation, and in some cases deep bruising or serious injury for the student. It can also have long-lasting psychological consequences. Students can become angry or withdrawn and less likely to succeed in school. And students with disabilities may see that their underlying conditions are worsened as a result of corporal punishment. For instance, students with sickle cell anemia may have particularly severe pain crises as a result of corporal punishment. Corporal punishment is just ineffective in creating safe schools. It creates a violent, degrading school environment in which all students, and particularly students with disabilities, struggle to succeed.
Catherine, are there more effective ways to handle discipline in schools?
Yeah. For example, there are programs called positive behavior supports, which are models to develop in schools to address behavioral problems for kids with disabilities. The focus of these programs is to focus on rewarding children for good behavior rather than punishing them for bad behavior. It follows a tertiary model. At the bottom of the pyramid, if you will, is school-wide mechanisms to make sure that all kids have a clear understanding of the rules, but more importantly, to create an open and engaging environment in which every single child is valued. At the middle of the pyramid are targeted interventions for at-risk children. The focus here is on positive interactions with these children. At the top of the pyramid are the really targeted interventions for the children with repeated behavioral problems. Again, the focus is on positive interventions and to really try to figure out what is at the root, what is causing these kids to misbehave frequently. Is it perhaps an unidentified disability? Is it perhaps temporary problems at home? And in this way, the idea is to stop the behaviors before they occur. Programs like positive behavior supports have been proven to be effective in reducing incidents of misconduct for the entire school, not to mention their cost effectiveness. Studies have shown that it increases the time available for actual instruction because teachers aren't busy filling up their days filling out discipline reports. For this reason, for example, positive behavior supports are required under the federal law, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. In addition, there are a lot of federal stimulus funds available for these programs, and in several states, they're actually mandated by state law.
Thanks for listening to this ACLU podcast. To learn more about the use of corporal punishment on children and see the new report, go to www.aclu.org/corporalpunishment.